Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, to get us started. Amen. And so
Let's listen to Lift Up Your Head by Laura Hackett Park. Here we go. Listen to some more great songs.
Keep my eyes fixed on you. Keep my gaze ever true. Keep my again, ever true. Keep my
Fixed on You by Jonathan Clark. Amen. What a beautiful song. All right. Well, let's get into the message for tonight. Amen. It's called A Reason to Give Thanks. Well, here in verse 12, again, of Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, we come to a turning point where Paul has given us sort of an outline in the first verse. You see, if you will, many ways, very briefly, Paul has given us the very nature of the gospel of Christ. And then here in verse 12, he comes back and sort of makes a very succinct summary of the gospel. Just to bring us up to date, if you remember what we looked at, did Paul ever actually go to Colossae? No. Paul was not the one who preached the gospel to these folks. But instead, a man named Epaphras took the message of hope to the people of Colossae. So Paul reminds them that this gospel isn't an empty bunch of words either. It was brought forth fruit in their lives that they had become Christians. The words that Epaphras brought to them were just words of slick preacher boy. These words didn't just sit people on the edge of their seats or put them to sleep. Oh no, they did something else. Those words brought forth fruit. They brought forth new converts, and Paul rejoiced to God for the work that had been done. But he feels compelled to write this letter for some reason. Why? Anyone remember? It was because there were false teachers creeping into the church, and they were preaching another gospel. So Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wants to show very clearly, very plainly, that the truth, the true gospel of Jesus Christ is complete in and of itself. It doesn't need anything else, only Jesus, nothing else. You see, the false teachers, and believe me, folks, we've got them today in our churches as well, these false teachers went about reducing Jesus from who he really was, and they were reducing what he did as well. They were in their own subtle way saying the simple belief that in Christ wasn't quite enough. You had to believe in him, but you had to believe in him, but there were a few other things that you had to do if you wanted to make sure you get into heaven. You had to get circumcised. You had to abstain from eating certain foods, and you had to do this and that. Folks, cults do exactly the same thing today. If you are going to really be a Christian, you must do this, or you must do that. If you're going to be a Christian, then you must attend at this church, or you must be part of this ministry or that ministry, or you must be a chairman of this or that committee. Folks, that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. His is the only gospel. His is the only hope for the world. There is nothing else that can take us through these trials and persecutions of this life than the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would ask you this. Do you truly know and truly understand what the gospel of Jesus Christ is about in your life? If we do, we'll be giving thanks just like Paul was giving thanks. Is he giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light? He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So would you do something right now? Would you take a moment and remember right now, along with me, stop and think about the very reality of what God has done for you. This is just a plain awesome, folks. Look at this. God has qualified you to a partaker of the inheritance of the saints. Did you hear that, folks? God has done all that for you. And that in itself is all the reason to give thanks to him. You and I couldn't do enough good stuff, qualify ourselves in our own, but God did it. He qualified us. In other words, he made us righteous in his holy eyes through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And now we have an inheritance right along with all the other saints. Let's go ahead, folks, right now and tell the Lord, thank you for what he has done. You know, folks, we don't give thanks enough to God for all he's done, do we? But isn't the whole reason hinging on the wonderful gospel and message of Jesus Christ, in some ways, too, doesn't the gospel sort of give us a test whenever we hear it? or whenever we read it in the Bible. I think it does. I know for me, every time I read of what God has done for me through his son Jesus, it just causes me to realize how much he loves me, and it asks me to really pointedly, am I giving enough thanks to the Lord for that which he has done for me? In a way, the gospel test of how much thanks we give God shows whether or not we're really genuine or whether we're just going through intellectual motions of religion. So listen to me now. Listen to this. You see, true thanksgiving is the mark of true Christianity. And again, think about this. How much thanksgiving is there in your life? Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote regarding thanksgiving, saying it's not only the great note of the Bible, but of the church in every period of revival and reawakening. At other times, the church is preaching ethics and morality and good behavior. Nobody praises. Nobody is expected to praise. And if somebody did praise in certain places, it would be a great shock. No, religion is respectable. Men and women leading up by lives, the good people who go to church, and those other people on the street, yet there is no praise among these good churchgoers. Why? They have no salvation. They're not thankful to God. They are like the Pharisees, thanking God not for anything that he has done, but because they are not like other men. Because they are so wonderful when the church is in the midst of revival, when it's really functioning as it should and preaching the gospel of men and women are being converted and built up in the faith. Oh, then the church bursts forth into hymns of praise and thanksgiving. The test the gospel goes like this. Do we really feel like praising God or not? Do we really enjoy praising God or not? Is there real thanksgiving in our hearts for him? Folks, do you know something? If we're truly saved and we aren't just trying to live a head knowledge walk with Jesus, then we were giving thanks. What about you today, dear friends? Does your thanksgiving to God truly show that you've been saved by God? That you've been made to be a partaker of the magnificent inheritance by God's own infinite grace? We are saved by faith and faith alone. This is the gift of God. Praise be the name. You see, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed in us into the kingdom of the Son and his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So we can give thanks and should give thanks because God has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. Well, that cost was great, folks. Very great. It was because of the redeeming act of shedding his own son's blood on the cross for our sins. There's a short story I'd like to close with today. The day is over. You're driving home. You tune into your radio and you hear a little blurb about a little village in India where some villagers have died suddenly, strangely, of a flu that has never been seen before. It's not influenza, but three or four fellows are dead. And it's kind of interesting they're sending some doctors over there to investigate it. You don't think much about it, but on Sunday coming from church, you hear another radio spot, only they say it's not three villagers, it's 30,000 villagers in the back hills of this particular area of India. And it's on TV that night. CNN runs a little blurb. People are heading there from their disaster, a disease center in Atlanta, because it's a disease space that's never been seen before. By Monday morning, when you all get up, it's the lead story. For it's not just India, it's Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran. Before you know it, it's hearing the story everywhere, and they've coined it now as the mystery flu. The president has made some comments that has everyone praying and hoping that we all go over there. But everyone's wondering, how are we going to contain it? That's what the president of France makes an announcement that shocks Europe. He closes the borders, no flights from India, Pakistan, or any of the countries where this thing has been seen. That night, you're watching a little bit of CNN before going to bed. Your jaw hits the chest. Okay, when your weeping woman translates from a French news program in English, there's a man lying in a hospital in Paris dying of a mystery flu. And it's come to Europe. Panic strikes. As best they can tell you, once you get it, you have it for a week, and you don't know it. You have 4 days of unbelievable symptoms and you die. Britain closed its borders, but it's too late. Southampton, Liverpool, Northampton. It's Tuesday morning when the President of the United States makes the following announcement. Due to national security risk of all flights from Europe and Asia have been canceled. If we love those overseas, I'm sorry. And they can't come back until we find a cure for the thing. Within 4 days, our nation has been plunged into unbelievable fear. People are slinging little masks for your face. People are talking about why it comes to this country, and preachers on Tuesday are saying it's the scourge of God. But it's Wednesday night, and you're hearing a church prayer meeting when somebody runs it from the parking lot and says, turn on the radio, while the church listens to a little transistor radio with a microphone stuck up to it. The announcement is made. Two women are lying in Long Island Hospital dying from the mystery flu. Within hours, it seems this thing just sweeps across the country. People are working around the clock trying to find an antidote. Nothing is working. California, Oregon, Arizona, Florida, Massachusetts, though it's just sweeping in from the borders. And all of a sudden, the news comes out, the code has been broken. A cure can be found. A vaccine can be made. It's going to take the blood of someone who has been infected. And so, sure enough, all through the Midwest, through all the channels of emergency broadcasting, everyone is asked to do one simple thing. Go to your downtown hospital and have your blood type taken. That's all we ask of you. When you hear the siren go off, your neighbor, please make your way quickly, quietly, and safely to the hospital. Sure enough, when you and your family get down there, they're late on that Friday night, there's a long line. And they've got nurses and doctors coming out and pricking fingers and taking blood and putting labels on it. Your wife and your kids are out there and they're taking your blood type. And they say, wait here in the parking lot and we call your name. You can be dismissed and go home. You're standing around scared with your neighbors wondering what in the world is going on and that this could be the end of the world. Suddenly a young man comes running out of the hospital screaming. He's yelling my name and waving a clipboard. What? He yells it again, and your son tucks in your dad and says, Daddy, that's me. Before you know it, they have grabbed your boy. Wait a minute, hold on. And he says, it's okay, blood is clean, his blood is pure. We want to make sure he doesn't have the disease. We think he's got the right type. Your son could save the world. 5 agonizing minutes later, out come the doctors and nurses crying and hugging one another. Some are laughing. It's the first time you have seen anybody laugh in a week. And an old doctor walks up to you and says, thank you, sir. Your son's blood type is perfect. It's clean. It's pure. And we can make the vaccine. As the word becomes traveled and spread across the parking lot full of folks, people are screaming and praying and laughing and crying. But then the gray-haired doctor pulls you and your wife aside and says, may we see you for a moment? We didn't realize that the donor would be a minor, and we need you to sign a consent form. You begin to sign, and then you see the number of pints of blood to be taken is empty. How many pints? And that is when the doctor's smile fades and says, we have no idea. It would be a little child. We weren't prepared. We need it all, sir. Well, what? But you don't understand. We're talking about the world here. Please sign. But can't you give him a transfusion? If he had clean blood, we could. Can you sign? Would you sign? And in some silence you do, then you say, would you like to have a moment with him before we begin? Can you walk back? You've asked yourself, can you walk back to that room where he sits on the table saying, Daddy, Mommy, what's going on? Can you take his hand and say, son, your mommy and I love you, and we would never, ever let anything happen to you that didn't just have to be. Do you understand that? And when that old doctor comes back and says, I'm sorry, we've got to get started. People all over the world are dying. Can you leave? Can you walk out? He's saying, Dad, Mom, Dad, why have you forsaken me? And then the next week, when they have the ceremony to honor your son, and some folks sleep through it, and some folks don't even come because they go to the lake, and some folks are pretending to smile and just pretending to care, would you want to jump up and say, my son died, don't you care? Isn't that what God is saying? My son died, don't you know how much I care? Father, seeing it from your eyes breaks our hearts, but now we begin to comprehend the great love you have for us. Amen. What about you? Have you ever accepted the precious gift that God has for you? Well, if you haven't, you have a chance to do so right now. And you can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life by simply praying this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like to welcome you into the family of God. We'd like to see the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer, we would like you to call into area code 657-383-1487. Okay, once again, call into 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key so we can bring you on air, so you tell everybody that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. God bless you. Let's play some music here. This is Safety by Stephen Christian and Firefly.
Reaching out.
okay, was One World Revolution. Alrighty. Okay, let's, let's bring on a caller here. 111. You're on the air. Hello? Hey, how you doing?
Hello, Ken. I think you know who this is. Ken, I had a question about your sermon.
Uh-huh.
Ken, at the very end of your sermon, you said something about your son had died. I'm very sorry. I didn't know about that. What happened?
No, that was a story. That was a story. It was a fictional story. Okay? It wasn't saying that my son was dead.
Oh, man, my listening comprehension must be impaired in some way, because I thought you said that Kenny Jr. died.
No.
Well, I know he is in kind of a bad situation. He's got, I think he got shot by a black man. Is that correct?
Yeah, he got shot by a black man a couple years back. He's paralyzed from the waist down.
Oh, Jesus. Man, if I were you, I would have an issue with African Americans from this point forward, if I were you.
No, I don't hold any ill will, okay, towards African Americans.
I don't know how do you move beyond that, because I would just be seething with anger, like, for the rest of my days.
Well, I was angry, okay, when I heard about it. But my son is also a bit of a hothead, and he had a reputation of being a fierce fighter, okay? So what I understand is that this black man knew of my son's reputation of being a fierce fighter, and was afraid that, since he was having an affair with my son's wife at the time, okay, that my son would go after him, and so he shot him.
He shot him because he was worried that your son was going to go after her? What?
I'd go after him.
Is that a crime or is that justifiable?
No, it was still a crime, okay, because he was shot in the back, okay? My son was walking away from him, okay? He told the gentleman that he didn't have time for this. He's going to work. He walked away from him, and the guy pulled out a gun and shot him in the back. So that was a crime. However, I haven't heard of the prosecution of this gentleman as of yet.
You know the guy's name? We could probably look it up.
I don't know the guy's name personally, no. I don't. I just know that it was an African-American that shot my son in the back.
Well, they'll do that. My God. So was he an adopted child? Is that what the situation is?
He was my stepchild. He was my middle child of the three of my stepchildren.
Oh, okay. Was this with Rosemary?
Yes, it was Rosemary. Rosemary was married once before she met me to a man named Kenneth Barrow. And she had already had a son, my oldest son, before she got married to him. Okay, so he didn't have a father's name, and I adopted him, my oldest son. Okay, because I didn't adopt him. Okay, I would adopt the other two. Okay, Kenny and Tabitha, but he didn't want to give up parental rights.
Okay. And are you out of contact with them, or what's the situation there? It's probably been a while since you talked to them, right?
Yeah, it's been a while since I talked to them. Yeah.
Are they? Do you think they're hiding from you, or they want to stay away from you, or what do you think?
No, I just think they're living their lives, and that's it.
Hmm.
Okay, let's change the subject here. Let's change the subject. Okay? We don't need to go into, and things like that.
Okay. Well, I have another question.
Uh-huh.
In the sermon, you referred to your circumcision. Why did you bring that up?
No, I didn't refer to my circumcision. I referred to other things that people say in order to be a Christian, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do that. Okay? And you don't have to do all those things to be a Christian.
Okay, so are you kind of talking about how, like in some churches, they'll say that faith alone and Jesus is not enough, that you have to perform certain works, certain acts, you understand what I mean? Is that what you're talking about? Okay, or was that a shot at the Catholics? Because I think the Catholics are like that, aren't they?
Well, they're a little bit different, okay? Just like Mormons are different, okay? They have different beliefs, okay? I'm not saying any one religion is correct, but like I said, to be a Christian, all you need to do is believe in Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a Protestant deal with like Martin Luther, because the issues with the Catholic Church, how they were more concerned.
Yeah, well, the Catholic Church is a whole different thing by itself. Okay. Oh, John, what happened? Johnny? We seem to have lost you. I don't know what happened. Maybe Block Talk dropped Johnny. I think that's what happened. I haven't paid him a visit, actually, because, I cannot get there, plus he has his father there, that's watching over him. Amen. God bless him. Okay, let's bring back 111. I think that might be Johnny. Johnny, what happened?
Ken, my cheek hit the phone, and it happened to hit the button that disconnected. So I was sitting there just talking away, and I thought it was weird that when I stopped talking, you did not respond. Well, that's because I hung up on you accidentally. No, it wasn't blog talk. What did I just miss?
Oh, nothing. I was just saying that I was talking to you, and we got disconnected, and hang up.
Yeah, that's definitely my fault. So anyway, more about your circumcision. When was it performed?
It was performed when I was a baby.
There's some people that wait and do it later in life. And from what I've heard, it's no good. It's very painful from what I've heard.
Yeah, it's what I heard too, yeah. Okay, when you're a baby, it's, I guess we cry, okay, because you're being snipped. Okay, but, it heals rapidly fast, okay, so.
And nobody remembers it, no. 6-day-old baby's going to remember what happened to him then. So I guess if we're going to do it, that'd be the time.
Yep.
So isn't it true? Is it the Jews that say that you got to get that done to show that you're with God?
It's a rabbi does it. He's called a moil. Okay. And that's his specialty is, the circumcision.
Right. And so you know that because you're a former Jewish person, correct?
Right.
Okay. And did you ever perform that at being Jewish? Did you ever perform that service?
No, not in Israel. No.
Do they have to get training for that, or what do they do? Like take a correspondence course, or do they watch YouTube videos? How do they get ready for that?
Well, I mean, in modern day, what I understand is that actually the moral himself doesn't perform it. He's just there for to do a blessing, while the surgeon does it now. The doctor.
So the moil doesn't perform the procedure?
No, the moil actually doesn't. He performs a blessing, over the child while...
So then he's just in the room saying things, and then there's a guy with scissors taking care of the procedure, correct?
Yeah.
Hmm. Are there Christians that think you have to do that to get to heaven?
There has been some of that is in the Messianic Christians that believe in Jesus as God, because they also have Jewish faith, so they believe they believe that too sometimes. I'm not exactly sure of that for 100%, but I believe that is part of it.
Okay, and I think that this procedure is performed on people who aren't Jewish. I wonder why that is. Why? How come it was something that the Jews did?
It's a matter of choice. Okay. Do you want to be removal of the foreskin, or do you not want to, or do you want to have the foreskin? It's a matter of choice today,
But it's not your choice. It's a choice that your parent made.
It's a choice your parents make, It's not, a baby can't make up his mind to get it snipped or not, So that's up to the parents, If the parents want it, then the child gets it. If the parents don't want it, then the child doesn't get circumcised.
Yeah, well, there's a movement against that apparently they want to delay the choice until the child can be of age to make the decision himself, apparently. Ken, do you have any other calls, or... what's going on here?
Yeah, I got another 111 call. Let me take it and see who it is.
Okay.
Here we go. 111, you're on the air.
Hello. Hello, Kenneth. Hello. I called you the other day from Haven for Hope, and I had asked you to come speak to us, give us a sermon. Have you reached out to Haven for Hope recently?
No, I haven't had a chance to do so as of yet, but I will do so in the future.
What do you mean the future? I want it to happen soon. Can you reach out tomorrow?
Well, I'm going to see what I can see about maybe being a guest pastor on Sunday. Okay?
That would be phenomenal. I would greatly appreciate it. I've been talking with the other good pastor who was on your show last time I called. Pastor Kent Hopper as well. He is an interesting cat.
Yeah, he is. Yes, he is.
I don't understand why you two hate each other so much. You together is such a powerful, powerful way to reach people.
Well, that's just the fake Pastor Kent. The fake Pastor Kent is full of nonsense. The real Pastor Kent I'm friends with.
the leader of the flock, I think his name is. He told me that in his private call with me. He said that you two fight like cats and bugs, and you say that he was fake, even though he's the real one.
No, he's not the real one. Leader of the flock is the fake Pastor Kent.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes they sound the same. Like you, the guy that goes, hello, that reminds me of Pastor Kent, and then you call him fake. But I think that might be the real one.
No, Johnny, that's not the real Pastor Kent. Pastor Kent doesn't sound like it.
Well, somebody told me to listen to the quote-unquote real Pastor Kent, and the real Pastor Kent sounded mean and standoffish, and this pastor, leader of the flock, seems very open to people and kind and generous, and he offered
yep.
to help me make money in FTX. I don't know what that is, but he said his buddy ran FTX, and if I invested money in it, I'd get a lot.
That's one of the cryptocurrency outfits, and recently they went totally bankrupt and everybody lost their money, and it's like a multi-million dollar disaster. So I think maybe you should not be involved in that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think it's a good idea.
He said I'd make a lot of money using it and get out of poverty. So he's a very dumb man to me.
That's a pyramid scheme, I think. I think you've fallen for a scam, sir.
I don't know. I've also done this thing recently. I was panhandling near the Alamo here in San Antonio. And I discovered somebody came up to me and they said, if you send your panhandle money to my charity across the ocean, we help children find homes from the streets of Kampala and other cities. I sent money that way too, and I hope it's going to a good cause. Because, you know, the poor, when the poor donate, they get to heaven quicker.
I've heard that too.
I don't know about that. If you give with an open heart and you don't expect anything in return, okay, for the gift that you have gave, okay, you know, that's called a cheerful giver, okay? But if you expect something for giving, okay, then it's not a worthable gift. Okay.
The man's name, he told me that his name was Sam Houston.
Sam Houston died a long time ago. He's from the 1800s.
Yes, he did.
Ken knows about Sam Houston because he's in Texas.
He said his name was Sam Houston, and he worked at the Alamo with a man.
Yeah, I think this is a bit of a scam that's going on here. I don't think this is
legitimate. He told me he worked at the Alamo with a man named Stephen F. Austin and a man named Davy Crockett. And he said they were good guys, and he brought them out to me, and they said that I should donate to this charity with my money that I raised on the street for myself, and so I did.
Yeah, I think you got scammed, sir. I think you got scammed. Because Sam,
why?
Houston and Davy Crockett, they've been dead for a couple hundred years now.
What do you mean? I saw them. I saw them in San Antonio.
Well, you must
Steve
have been.
Anybody
can say they're Davy Crockett or Sam Houston, okay? That doesn't mean that they are.
I thought Steve Austin was a WWE guy. Wasn't he a wrestler?
Who?
Steve Austin?
Yeah, Steve Austin. Yeah, he's a wrestler from WWE.
Well, maybe that was that the guy that scammed you? Was it Steven? Did Steve Austin? Did he like take beer cans and smash them into his head and pour them up over himself?
No, sir. He seemed like a godly man. He just walked. The friends walked up to me and they took me around the city a little bit in their van and talked to me about the charity. And they let me out of Haven for Hope after I'd given some money to them. And they said their name was Sam Houston, Stephen F. Austin, and Davy Crockett. And those names don't mean anything to me. That's just what they said their names were. And you're saying they've been dead for years? I don't understand what you mean by that.
They were during the revolution of the Texas Revolution, okay, when they were fighting the Mexicans, okay, back in the 1800s.
Yep. I just got a text message. I got a text message from a guy named Ghost of Bandit, and he is an expert on Texas history, and he told me that these names are from Texas history and that these people are all dead and that there's definitely a scam being played on you.
I know I sent the money to charities in Africa. I just know it. They seem legit to me. And why would you scam a homeless man such as myself?
I really don't know. I don't know why they would do that. Okay.
Scamming a homeless person just—it seems pointless because homeless people don't have money. So why would you try to go after somebody with no money?
I had about a good $200 that I gave them because I go out on the street with these. They're like the Home Depot concrete mixing buckets. They're plastic, and I bang on them to a beat and like sing a little song and do a little dance when I'm doing it. I chose the Alamo because I know people like it there. And I also do it on the Riverwalk sometimes.
Ken's been to the Riverwalk. He and Victor used to stroll along the Riverwalk arm in arm. Right, Ken?
No. We didn't. We've never. Me and Victor never strolled along the Riverwalk arm in arm. No.
What about you and
Victor?
Tony?
Is that another pastor?
Me and Tony have never been to the Riverwalk together.
Pastor Victor? Who's Pastor Victor?
No, Victor's not a pastor. He's just a friend of ours.
Is he a godly man, though? Could he help me out?
Well, Victor doesn't believe in God. Victor doesn't believe in God.
What a dick.
Yeah, he doesn't believe in God. He's an atheist. Okay?
How can you live in the same house with him? My God.
It's easy. He's got his own beliefs, but, you know, it's okay.
Ken, I'm sick of living at the Haven for Hope. Could I potentially live with you? I can do your dishes and things. I'm really good at that.
We're good there, sir. Thank you for offering. That would be interesting. Let me bring on another caller here. We got 111 caller. Let me bring him on. 111, you're on here.
Cutting off the homework.
Hello.
Oh, goody. This is the guy who I've been talking to. This is the guy who I've been talking to recently.
Kenny.
So glad he's here.
Kenny.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
why did you lie about Victor being an atheist?
I'm not lying about that. It's the truth.
He might not believe God, but he, like you, worships my penis.
Stop it. Goodbye.
Don't hurt me. No. You misunderstood him.
He's gone. He's gone.
It's a metaphor. He's not literally talking about his penis. It's a metaphor, Ken.
Ken Fishman penis is a Christian form of forgiveness. When you do penance to God. You do penance to God.
Yeah, Ken.
That's what he's talking about.
No, he wasn't talking about penance. He was talking about penis.
But he
it
said penance.
Like this is a godly show. He was talking about penance. And you're saying he was talking about male genitalia? What is
he was talking about genitalia. Because that's
why
what he does. Because he does that.
Your mind is in the gutter, Pastor Ken.
Oh, my mind's not in the gutter. That's where his mind's at.
How did
we got another
like
caller here for 111 to take it. There we go.
Please don't hang up. Don't hang up.
111,
call.
Okay, Kenny. Let's bury the hatchet, Kenny.
There you go.
No need for you to get all bitchy with me now. Is there, Kenny?
Well, you don't talk about penis.
Kenny, only reason people get reminded of my penis is because when you talk, it sounds like you have my penis in your mouth again. Peanut butter, marbles, and my big penis.
You're supposed to be burying the hatchet, and you're saying that?
I am burying the hatchet. I'm just pointing out the obvious, my son. It's my way of apologizing for Kenny being such a bitch. So, Kenny, I am sorry that I offended you. What do they call people in the States? Are you a snowflake? You are, Kenny?
No, I'm not a snowflake.
Are you...
He's trying to apologize.
Canceled culture, Kenny?
No.
Ken's woke. He's woke. That's the problem.
So, how may I properly address you? Is Bitch Kenny acceptable? Bitch Kenny?
No, just call me Pastor Ken and leave it at that.
Okay, then I will call you Pastor Kenny. Bitch. No, not bitch. I'm sorry, Kenny. That came out the wrong way. Sort of like when I pulled my penis out and you put it in your mouth again, Bitch Kenny.
Oh, my God. That's burying the hatchet?
Yes.
Or is that a metaphor? Not literal.
That is a metaphor. Like when Kenny said, fuck the Bible quotes. Remember when Kenny said that? Kenny, do you remember when you said F Psalm? Do you remember what Psalm it was? What Bible
47?
Verse, Kenny?
47? 27? I forget.
Which one was it, Kenny?
You remember it, Kenny?
Which one was it, Kenny?
You said, fuck Psalm 37, I think.
Maybe I did.
No, you definitely did, Kenny.
Ken, I've got it saved somewhere. I'll have to look it up, but there's a recording.
So speaking of things we've done in the past, and the past is the past. We know that you had a past with Dan Garza. We know
I had a past with the real Dan Garza, not the ones in Discord.
Okay. Nevertheless, and nevertheless, you had a past with a Danny Garza. And you had a present with Tony F. So where does 16-year-old Victor lie in all this?
Victor, 64.
When would you have sex with him, in the past or in the present?
I don't have sex with Victor. I don't have sex with Victor.
Because if it was in the past, that means he was a child, and that makes you sick, Kenny.
I'm not like you. Okay, I'm not like you. Were you gentle children?
Oh my God.
Kenny the pedo.
Kenny. Two kids.
Goodbye.
50% off so they can use them as swords.
Goodbye, Jim.
What was that? What was that about Psalm 37?
I don't know.
Did you hang up?
Anyway, I'm going to say goodnight, everybody. God bless you. Have a wonderful night.
Okay,
I will
fuck you up. Okay? I want you to understand. I will fuck.
Wow.
Yep. So good night. Have a good one. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks for talking to me tonight, Ken.
You're welcome, Johnny. It's always a pleasure. God bless you.